As I was thinking about what could I share with Harvest, I was thinking about this incredible message that he shared with me one day. He shared the gospel of the kingdom with me. I wasn't always a fan of specialty messages or specialty sermons or specialty anything. I just kind of felt like, man, just give me Jesus. Why you got to always be trying to put healing on it or prophecy on it or prosperity on it? Now here you come with the kingdom. What is this now? I don't even know what that is. What is that? And he taught me. But he didn't teach me by preaching. He taught me by living. And after time went by, I realized he knows something that I didn't know. And so I started absorbing. I stopped competing. You understand? I'm trying to help you now. Because sometimes God will put people in our lives that are there to shine among us. And sometimes we have a light. I was listening to a sermon, I think it was a couple days ago, you preached on prayer. It's on the Harvest website. And he was just talking about prayer and how prayer meant and all that. And he was talking in some segment of that. He talked about some people have a gift that maybe the gift isn't for now. You understand? Maybe the gift isn't for right now, but the gift is still legit. It's just about timing and how you release that gift and when you release that gift. And so as I was listening to that message, I was like, wow, this is really good. And so what I've gleaned from him and Pastor Gloria, what I've taken from their lives, I want to kind of share with you in the way of the scripture. I've always been a Bible fanatic. Like, I need to see it in the scripture. How many of you need to see it in the scripture? How many of you done with the flim-flam? No, how many of you done with it? You're done with you. No one can just tell you something now. I think my sister came here earlier and said that she learned to read it and study it for herself. How many of you know how to pray for yourself? How many of you know how to read it for yourself? Find out what it means for yourself. That makes you a very strong Christian. Well, I want to take you to Genesis real quick. This is very interesting to me, what God did. In this simple, simple story, we're gonna talk to what God, after he created Adam and Eve, God said something. He said something that was so interesting to them after he gave them incredible explanation about what they would be doing and how they would do it. Let's look at Genesis chapter. I think I want to go to chapter 2. And I want to talk to you about this because I believe in this kingdom message that we now love and hold dear, people that don't get it, they miss this aspect that you are not the initiator. I am not the initiator. Oftentimes we've been taught in church that if anything is going to happen, we initiate it. We're the one that start the ball rolling. And so when we talk about salvation, we get our acts together before God does what he needs to do. The accountability always begins with us. But that's the beauty of this message, that God is always the initiator. God is always the one that sets whatever to be set. He sets it in motion. And if he doesn't set whatever it is that you're facing in motion first, there is nothing you can do to set the setter. You understand? So you and I, we're often trying to put ourselves in a position to find out our best position to set God, to fix God, to somehow align what he said, because what he said is so radical and so different than anything our minds can comprehend. We don't really get how he can accept us. That's tough. How can he accept me without me doing something for him? That's hard. That's a big pill to swallow, that God himself accepts us. It's what turned Apostle Paul on top of his head when he saw his road to Damascus experience. It changed his life, because when he met
Jesus accepted him. It turned Zacchaeus on top of his head and caused Zacchaeus to follow him, because when he met this crook, this evil, this guy was disgusting. Zacchaeus, we would have all beat him real good and nobody would have pity for him. But when Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he accepted him. The adulterous woman, busted. Jesus did not give her a rule or an order to follow. He merely accepted her. So what he did, he just put love on her. There was no in-between conversation. He just said, here, take this love. You without sin cast the first stone. He just accepted. And so we get confused in our head. What kind of a God is this? He's called this paradox, lion and lamb. That's how he's the lion and the lamb. And so we don't really know how that worked, but how can this be that he's the most authoritative, but then he's the greatest servant? These flip-flops, it seems like, which one you're gonna be? And this is why you and I, if we get our head out the game, then God can do what he wants to do as soon as you and I step out and allow him. Yeah, and so here's the thing. You and I, we focus a lot on, how you call it? Self-denial. We say, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that anymore. I'm not gonna go over there anymore. But you don't realize in self-denial, you're still driving the car. You understand what I mean? Self-denial is not denial of self. I hope you hear what I'm saying. You see, denial of self means that's not even your choice. Denial of self means that you don't get to decide what you will or will not do. The moment you're deciding what you will and will not do says that you're still in some condition or another in charge. And so this little leaven slips in our lives. Although we think we are being led by God, we are still in the front seat, driving the direction. Do you know it is, so, you know, let me tell you something. I love God a lot. I think I love him a lot. I do, I really believe that. Peter did too. I'm just saying. Peter loved him. How many of you know Peter loved him? Peter really loved him until right after that situation went down. And don't you know Jesus? Jesus who? Weren't you walking around town with Jesus? Man, you ain't never seen me on the west side of Chicago with no Jesus, man. I don't even know what you're talking about. I didn't know you're not going to put that on me. I don't know that man. That's what he said. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? He said, you're not going to put that on me. Lie, 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 lie. I don't know him. I'm not changing it. I don't know him. Now you can leave me alone with that. And when you see Bobby, you tell Bobby. Yeah, because he's lying on me. You see, what I'm trying to help you understand is that our love can be oftentimes very deceptive to us. This is why you and I have to learn to rely all on him. Entirely, completely, everything. I think this is the ingredient that we need to be sustaining. That when you don't have, you see, something he said in that message that really blessed me. He said, people that pray, have a prayer life, they don't, how did he put it? He said, they don't flip out when trouble comes. And I like to say it this way. People that know their position is number two and not number one. They don't flip out when circumstances flip out. You see, we're in a situation unlike any other creature. We are the ones that suffer and rejoice at the same time. That's because we have a lion and a lamb at the same time. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? You see, our lives is much different than any other life that we see in this earth. Why? Because we have this paradox going all the time when we're out of the way. So I was going to say this to you about the love. If you travel, you know that plane get about 33,000 feet. You can look down and you say, this is beautiful. Coming across the Atlantic, you can see it on the little screen there. You can say, this is beautiful. Wow, this is really nice. The moment you think you're flying, meaning you think that it is you that have rocket boosted yourself up there, and you decide to hit the eject door and step off the plane, immediately you realize no matter how high you've gone, you're going to come down as hard very fast. And that's what happened when we try to take ourselves and put us in the thing. We think that when we're soaring in God, that we have something to do with it. And the moment we start acting like we're in charge, let me tell you something. You could be doing this thing right every day for the past 364 days. Try to do it on your own on the 365th day. And you will see you've accomplished nothing. Because you're not accomplishing anything. It's Him that we live. Him that we move. Him that we have our being. It's Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So every time you and I feel that we are somehow negotiating the circumstances, we are somehow mitigating, or we're somehow doing something that is required to get us to the next step, there's something that's very interesting about this Jesus. This Jesus showed up on the scene just like anyone else. And we sometimes separate His humanity from His divinity often never. Sometimes often never. We only see Him as divine. We never see Jesus the man. And so we don't realize until that time He got baptized that He was functioning and operating just like a man. And so He had to do things as men would do things. And even at the time that He was called the Son of God, when the dove descended upon Him, even up until that time and that time after, He still had to operate in the spirit as a man. In the spirit as a man. And so He forever said, it is My Father's will. You see, He never ever put Himself in it. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Jesus always referred back to the setter. He never said, because I'm the Son of God, I'm going to do a miracle. Do you know Jesus never performed one miracle to prove that He was God? I'm telling you something. Because He never ever competed with God. He knew that His role was the Son. And He knew that He had an assignment. And His assignment was not to compete with God, but what to do what God told Him to do. And so every time He said, for the benefit of those who don't believe, to bring Your name glory, do this. It was always for His Father. He was not trying to make a reputation for Himself. So when you hear somebody showing off their talent, you should know that's not about him. That's about them. Doesn't mean they're ill-intended. Sometimes it's just ignorance. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that they're trying to do something maliciously. Sometimes it's just they don't know. As we look at this story in Genesis 2, I want to show you something. This is verse 18. The Lord God said, Genesis 2:18, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper. And you see these beautiful men with beautiful helpers. Ain't that beautiful? Bishop, beautiful helper. Pastor Glory, beautiful. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals, and He brought them to the man to see what they would be named. And so the man gave them all names, but Adam, there was no suitable mate. So the Lord, verse 21, caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs. Verse 22, the Lord God made a woman from the rib of the man.
Verse 23. The man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And then it goes on to say, that is why the man leaves his father and mother and unites his wife, and they become one flesh. And Adam knew his wife. And Adam knew his wife. Now, out of all this creation story, now let's backtrack. I want to show you something. Genesis 1:27. Listen to me. So God created mankind in his own image. That thing just about wore me out. Okay. He created male and female. He created them. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Somebody say assignment. God gave them assignments. Fill the earth and subdue it. Somebody say assignment. God told them to do some stuff. Be fruitful. Multiply. Here's your assignment. Don't miss this. This is big. Rule. Somebody say assignment. He told them to rule over the fish. That's what he told them. And the sea and the birds in the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed bearing plant on the face. And he told all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky, creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath and life in it. He says, I give every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw. He saw. Everything he made was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Something happened on the seventh day. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heaven and the earth were completed in all their vast array. But the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested. Now, what would you think if God created you last night? Then the next day comes, and the first thing God says, chill out, rest. When you get the assignment, you want to go do what? The assignment. But that's not how it happened. He gave them the assignments, and then he told them the very next day, rest. Because you can't think this is you. Let it sit there for a minute now. I don't want you to confuse yourself to think that you are the one that is ruling. I am telling you to do it, but what you do it in me. And so before you get anxious, and before you get all excited talking to the fish, telling them what to do, trying to control the monkeys and the bears, before you start creating the zoos and all your beautiful botanical garden ideas, hold up. Pump your brakes. The first thing I need you to do is take a nap. Rest. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Rest. There's nothing like a father telling a son, I'm going to take you driving tomorrow. My kids drive me mad over that car. I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? The car comes, we can go tomorrow. Dad, that's what they were learning to drive. They really wanted to do it on a regular basis. It frightened me inside as a father because I said, your anxiousness will push you over the speed limit. It will push you through stop signs. It will push you through red lights. When God gives assignments in your life, the first step you take in the assignment is to rest. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Because if you get ahead of the setter, now you're reacting to everything else. And how did we get this idea in the church? This is how. We tithe to be blessed. The Bible says we're blessed, so we tithe. Do you understand what I'm saying? So how did it get flipped? Somebody didn't sleep. Somebody didn't rest. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say?
When the praises go up, the blessings come down. No, the blessings come down, so the praises go up. How did it happen? Somebody didn't rest. I'm helping you. I'm telling you something. You see, when we get ahead of the system, we reverse the whole thing. And so today, people are repenting because they want God to do something good. God done something good, and so you repent. I'm trying to help you. How did we get it twisted? Because somebody didn't sleep. Sleep is a good thing. I punish my pillow on a regular basis. I whoop my pillow down. I switch up a pillow every when the last time you change your pillow? My pillow need often changing. I bruise it. My head is heavy. I'm a rough sleeper. How did we get it twisted? People, don't just come. God just wants you just to give it to him. That's not the good news. The good news is you are accepted. And as a result of the acceptance, you then say, I'm going to turn this thing around. Because if he can do this without me at all, if he can change me without me at all, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He gave you love before you ever knew he loved you. I said he gave you love before you ever knew he loved you. And so there's no need for you and I to try to impress him for the love. He's confused. He said, who told you you were naked? Somebody said you're clothless, but I said you're dressed. Who switched it? Somebody didn't sleep. You see, sleep deprivation can cause a lot of problems. Ask the medical folks, they'll tell you. It messes up the whole body. You understand what I'm saying? And so you and I, we have to figure out a way to reset the clock. Someone was trying to say to me that, how do you expect God to bless you if you don't tithe? I said, brother, hear me now. God has already blessed me. He keep blessing me. That's when I make the tithe, and when I don't, I don't know how that happens. That's the radical thing. That thing right there, it just disturbs religious minds. Jesus really upset a lot of things when, you know, we got some work to do outside. We're going to blow up some balloons. We're going to fix up some tables. We're going to put some decorations out there. We're going to have a bunch of people come. We need people to pass out flyers. We need people to advertise. We need people to invite. All these things we need to do. So some people get there early in the morning. They work all day long. Some people come after half the job is done. They ain't did hardly what those got there early in the morning did. Some jokers went out, had fun, enjoyed themselves, came right when you blew up the last balloon and said, hold up, let me hang that for you. Yes. Yes-o. Yes, yes-o. And somebody said, I beg, I beg, I beg, I beg, I beg, I beg. You got, please, please, you can't tell me that you think you helped us. I've been here since 9 this morning. And so everybody looking at Bishop, I want to see what Bishop going to do. Those of us here early, they walking around, I'm going to see what he going to do. I'm going to see what he going to do. You saw him. He saw him when they got here. Well, you saw him. Let's see what he going to do. Yeah, let's see who he appreciate. No, he didn't appreciate everybody the same. Wait. I thought he was Holy Ghost filled. That joker that put the balloon, the last thing, Jesus gave him the same thing that them folks, those who came early in the morning, and that's the thing religious minds don't like. We don't like that radical confirmation of love. We hate it. How many of you ever find yourself upset that somebody else got appreciated
and they ain't hardly did nothing. Why?
How does that work? We insist that God is what you call humanly fair. And when he's not fair, you see, this is the problem that the Judaizers had with him, that he would be a suffering Messiah. A Messiah that just wouldn't come kicking over things and changing things. And I mean, even the disciples at one time, they would say, don't worry about it. Jesus, call him. Get heaven down here. Handle this. Get your angels. Come on. Don't worry about it. Come on, watch this. And when Jesus didn't do it, they said, how can he love us equal to his enemies? How can this God love me the same way he loves his enemies? You see what happened when you get in there? You see what happened when you don't sleep? You get real cloudy and you forget. I've been telling black men everywhere I go a few places, and I tell them, I don't like what's happening, what it looks like on television, and what it is for real in my life. I don't like it at all. I don't like the headlines and what's going on. I said, but I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna make sure my enemy is fat. I'm gonna pray that every bill he has get paid. I'm gonna pray that his wife come back home. I'm gonna pray that his children obey. I'm gonna pray that his children make a smile come on his face. Because I promise you, ain't nobody that's happy disgruntled. I'm trying to tell you something. Ain't nobody that's happy disgruntled. The squeaky wheel is squeaking because it needs oil. I'm not gonna be a part of the drama. I'm the solution. I'm gonna be the light. And you know how many brothers I made upset with that? I said, you a fool. You should have whatsoever you say. I want peace in my country. I want peace on my streets. I want peace in my home. I want my sons to have peace. And God promised me that my enemies will be at peace with me. And so if somebody is hurting, Jesus is trying to get his light to them. Doesn't matter if it's me or the other way around. I hope you hear what I'm saying. Hate don't help nobody. And avoidance don't solve no problems. I hope you hear what I'm saying. If you get sleep, if you rest before you begin to rule, God will give you direction. If you rest before you begin to dominate, God will make a way plain for you. If you rest before you start demonstrating, God will set the path so clear. The prayer that he prayed, he said, pray before you go do all these other things. Take that log out of your eye so you can clearly see the speck that is in your brother's eye. You know, I told you, culturally speaking, where I come from in Maryland, folks at my church, they pray torpedoes and missiles on top of their enemies' heads. They pray fire and the fire fall. And we've been challenging each of us as Christians to love, embrace. You can't continue the perpetuation of sleep deprivation. Rest causes things to become easy. Rest causes things to become comfortable. Have you noticed if you walked in some bad shoes for a little while, you notice your feet just need rest? That's all. Ain't nothing wrong with your feet. You take the shoe off and sit down for a little bit. What's going to happen? You stand right back up and just go what you were doing. That's life in the spirit of God. God expects you and I to rule and dominate, but he wants us to be active in our head. He wants us to be active in our hearts. He wants us to be active in our lives. So if I left you something this morning, this is what it would be. God is the setter. He's the originator. He's the one that causes the thing to be. And regardless of what you and I think, you must understand you repented because you saw something great in him. And the great thing you probably saw in him was the great thing he saw in you. We don't impress God. He's already impressed. There was one blessing passed out and Jesus got it. A name above every name. Not any other name can we be saved by other than Jesus Christ. That's it. So there's no need for us to race to be an impression. We should race to be a submission. Do you understand? Sometimes we get provoked in our lives to get out of that resting place, to drive where we're trying to go. I know people that they don't get, God is taking too long. Let me bless myself. I got money. I got resources. I'm going to bless me. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to go do that right now. And we do it. And then it doesn't give us the sustaining benefit of God's blessing. And often we have to redo what we've done. Why? Because we failed to rest. I want a covenant with you this morning that you and I will do our bestest in these next years to come to note when we find ourselves exchanging roles. I really believe to make the dream work, it really does take teamwork. And I really believe that if everyone can understand their place in the system, their place on the team, if everyone can commit to being that yielded vessel for that yielded purpose, I believe something will happen. Very, very miraculous that it will outlast everything else. Bishop and I was talking just the other day that many doctrines have come forth out of the church in Chicago particularly. Not many of them have last. When trouble in politics come, you can't use those doctrines. When trouble in marriages come, you can't use those doctrines. When trouble in your own spiritual walk and your salvation and your understanding of God, you can't use those doctrines. But if you put God first, I love this scripture. First seek ye the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Remember, to deny yourself is the goal, not to self-deny. As long as you and I are always saying, you know what? I'm just, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'll do that. We're putting too much of us in the middle. How about not my will? See, that's what Jesus did. Jesus was in that Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, God, is there any way? That was the self-denial right there. Is there any way that I can just forego this thing right here? I really don't want to do this. That was a self-denial part. But then he denied himself, and he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. How many thy will be done people do we have here? Huh? How many of you want his will to be done? Not my will. My will is what I think should happen now. God is saying, trust me. I love the scripture. He'll give you the heart, your heart's desire. Many people read that as whatever you want, he'll give it to you. I believe that the thing you want, he gave it to you. Meaning the desire he gave. Stand up. God, I thank you for all of this. All of this small place reaching the world. You picked an unsuspecting person. Just like a David, small in stature, champions bigger than him, maybe wiser than him, maybe know more than he does. But when you're serving David for Goliath, David didn't have to fight at all. It was you. You touched the slingshot, and you released the rock. And you landed it on his enemy's head.
God, continue. Continue for Bishop. Continue for Pastor. Do it again. Do it again. I know his heart must be so filled with innovation, ideas. Expand him to be able to achieve those desires. God, give him rest. Give her rest. Give the ministry team rest. Give the supporting members rest. Because if everyone is rested up, God, we will bless up. We will do the thing that you want us to do in the way you want us to do it. Anybody here tired? Physically tired? I just want to talk to you. Maybe you're carrying something and you just, it's heavy. I want you to leave that weight here. I mean, you know what tired feels like. You're not accurate anymore. You're not sharp. You're dull. The thing you would be able to do just now is jagged and it's rough. It's taken a lot of effort to do the thing that maybe you once did with no effort at all. That's not a sign of devil trouble. That's not a sign of you being out of the will of God. That's not a sign that you have messed up and you should be condemned. That's a sign that just maybe you need to exchange the controller. That's a symptom of the exchanging of the controller. Maybe you're holding something that's not meant for you to hold. Fighting a battle that's not meant for you to fight. Bishop said in that sermon, I heard that sometimes he would pray and he would need to talk to somebody really bad. And somehow throughout the end of that day, you never caught him. But then when you're done praying and you talk to God, they called you. I'm talking about when you get some rest. About the circumstances, God can do the thing that you would never accomplish. I want to just say a prayer with you. If you're tired, physically, spiritually exhausted, you've been running this race a long time, and somehow you think that if you just sit down for one lap, you think you'll lose ground. Let me tell you, you're not going to lose. You can't lose ground. This is holy ground. Then, you know, especially American culture, we believe that you have to be a go-getter 24/7. And so if you're in sales, you early bird, they taught me get the worm. So you got to be the early bird because you got to get that worm. And that's how you've been functioning. You've been functioning that I got to be the first one in. I got to be the one that's always there. That's running like one without a father. You have a father. The good news is you're not alone. The good news is that he came to give you rest. I want to talk to you that feel somehow, I don't know how you feel it, but condemned, guilty, shoulda, woulda, coulda. I wish I had. You still thinking it's you? There is therefore no condemnation. That's a judicial term. That's a judicial term. That's a governmental judicial term. There is therefore now no condemnation. Don't allow anything to condemn you. Just switch controllers. You take the passenger seat and allow God to continue to drive. Because guess what? You've never been driving anyway. You've just been working up a sweat for nothing. God is looking at you like, what are you doing? What she thinks you're doing? Remember that poem, Footprints? Remember that footprint poem that here it is, you thought you was on the beach all by yourself. And the poem put it so beautifully. Those times I was carrying you. That wasn't your footprints. Those were mine. In your weakness, my strength is perfected. If you want prayer, I want to pray with you. I want to climax it with that. And you don't have to do anything special. Just release it to him. Just release it to him. I'm going to pray one prayer. Just release it to him. Put yourself back
in that place of a child. That's what he told Nicodemus in John 3. He said that you can't see this kingdom if you don't become a child. That means total dependence on him. Father, in Jesus' name, every heavy heart, every exhausted person, everyone that is tired, everyone that is frustrated, that they're fumbling, they're staggering, they're stepping on themselves and over themselves, they're tripping, they're doing it, God, out of good intention often. God, give them what we call rest. You notice what God did to Adam? He had to put Adam to sleep. To do the surgery, he had to put him to sleep. Somebody got to go to sleep for God to do the work. Somebody say amen. Say amen again. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord.